Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, October 8, 2024, Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that in these last days, as we witness the wheels coming off the wagon, we thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. As we witness the apostasy and degeneracy of our own nation, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. As we witness the satanic attack on Israel and the Ukraine, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. And we thank you, sir, that we have the privilege this evening of assembling in freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is an article by Tom Gilbreth. Days of Awe. The seventh month of the Hebrew calendar begins the Jewish civil new year, starting with three high holy days: Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and Sukkoth, the Feast of Tabernacles. The days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur are known as the 10 days of repentance, or the days of awe. It is a time of reflection and fasting. This year, the days of awe contain a horrible anniversary, October 7th. On that day, 1 year ago, Hamas terrorists invaded Israel. They killed 1,200 people, mostly civilians. They took 251 hostages. Again, mostly civilians. This was not an uprising. These were not freedom fighters. Those who question the difference between freedom fighters and terrorists should ask themselves this: who but terrorists would intentionally butcher babies and their mothers? only terrorists. The numbers don't convey the savagery of October 7th. When you hear about the crimes Hamas committed that day and since, remember that the descriptions have been filtered. Societal norms limit the level of detail witnesses and journalists can give in telling these stories. Rescued hostages usually tell almost no one the true horrors that they faced while held captive by the terrorists. Then on October 8th of last year, Hezbollah decided to add another front to Israel's war. With the Hamas battle raging to the south in Gaza, Hezbollah in Lebanon began firing missiles at Israel from the north. Close to 10,000 of them over the last year. Imagine someone firing thousands of missiles at the United States. Would the United States start its response by calling for a ceasefire? Or would it first shut down the enemy's ability to make war? In a limited way, Israel struck back with targeted attacks on key Hezbollah leaders. But the battle to the north really heated up on September 17th and 18th when Israel exploded thousands of pagers and walkie-talkies in a precisely targeted attack against mid-level and higher Hezbollah fighters. In a stunning series of moves, Israel then destroyed all Hezbollah's top leaders. By the way, those leaders we had on our prayer list, and they're now taken off. They're now with their virgins in a down south. Israel fights because it must fight. The Jews in Israel cannot run. They have no other place to go. But escape is not on their minds. They are where they want to be. They choose to make their stand in the promised land. The place that God gave to them. May we all make our stand in the land of promise. In April of this year and again in October, Iran launched massive aerial assaults on Israel. Combined, the two attacks included 170 drones, over 30 cruise missiles, and more than 300 ballistic missiles. The October bombardment was the largest ballistic missile onslaught in history. And that April attack, well, it tragically killed a 7-year-old Bedouin girl, and in October, the Iranians killed one Palestinian man. But otherwise, these massive assaults did only minor damage, and that is a miracle of biblical proportions. As Israel looks forward to the Day of Atonement, It is in a seven-front war. Israel is being attacked from completely surrounded. It's being attacked by Iran, being attacked by Syria, it's being attacked by Hamas, it's being attacked by Hezbollah, it's being attacked by the Houthis, it's being attacked by the Shiite militias in Iraq, it's being attacked by Palestinian militants armed by Iran operating in Judea and Samaria, known as the West Bank. They are totally surrounded and being attacked, and the objective is to destroy them, annihilate them. And it will not happen. It will not happen because the living and true God has elected Israel to privilege. God has made four unconditional covenants with Israel. He will fulfill them. When Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent, he will fulfill the four unconditional covenants that he made with Israel. They will, here is this little tiny nation, totally surrounded. And they're Islamic terrorists are trying to destroy and annihilate this nation. It's satanic to the core. Satan would win the angelic conflict if it fulfilled. It will never, ever be fulfilled. But even in the middle of all that, these are indeed the days of awe. For most people, it's too big to have fully registered yet. But here's the situation. In just the last few days and weeks, we have seen nothing less than the hand of God moving openly in human history to fulfill his plans and promises as revealed in the Bible. We should all humble ourselves before him during these days, and we should stand in awe. Joel chapter 3. In Joel 3, verses 9 and 10, we have the announcement of Armageddon. In Joel 3, 11 and 12, we have the assembly for Armageddon. And then in Joel 3, 13 to 15, we have the awesomeness of Armageddon. Now in Joel 3, 16 and 17, we have the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth in great military glory. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest soldier of all time. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the anointed one, anointed by God the Father. And God the Father has entrusted all judgment to the Son. John 5, verses 22 and 27. Joel 3, 16a says, "And the Lord will roar like a lion from Zion, and he will thunder from Jerusalem, and the heavens, the stellar heavens, and the earth will shake and quake. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, the whole universe will shake in judgment. Men will think that the very foundation and framework of creation is being destroyed. This will be a sign that God's day of long-suffering and compassion upon a reversionistic and degenerate world has come to an end. Now it is the day of the Lord's judgment. The appearance of the Lord will be awesome, spectacular. Suddenly he will appear, and the brightness of his glory will illumine the universe. Matthew 24:29-30. Christ will be seated on a white stallion, and on his head will be many crowns, Revelation 19:11-12. And those many crowns are a symbol that he is the conquering King of Kings. His eyes will be a flame of fire, and his robe will be dipped in blood, Revelation 19:12-13. And this pictures his penetrating judgment upon the nations. With him will be the armies of righteousness, made up of church-age saints and the elect angelic armies, Revelation 19:14. So I asked you a question. How will the nations react at the Lord's glorious appearing? Will they change their thinking? Will they bow in humility? Well, absolutely not. No, the kings of the earth and the armies of the nations will instead go to war against Jesus Christ in the hope of destroying the Lord, Revelation 19:19-21. When they see him, they will attack him and then await the awful judgment that awaits them. There will be two categories of people on the earth who will witness the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be the remnant of believers, and there will be all the unbelievers. For all unbelievers on the earth, the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ will be a time of terrifying judgment. There will be lights out for the universe, a time of total darkness, Joel 3:15. And then the roar of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lion of Judah, coming to devour his prey, Joel 3:16. And then the Lord Jesus Christ in brilliant military glory, coming to defeat and destroy all the Gentile armies from the face of the earth. The appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in his military glory will cause unbelievers all over the world to mourn, because they realize that the time of their judgment has come. The whole universe will shake in judgment, Joel 3:16. But now in the second half of Joel 3:16, we see what the second advent will be for the remnant of believers. The second half of the verse, Joel 3:16b. But the Lord, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, the shelter from danger for his people, and the means of protection for the sons of Israel, the remnant of Jewish believers. And that's as far as we got. We finished the exegesis of verse 16, but we haven't had the summary. One! See, some of you don't know what to do till I say one. One! While the unbelieving world is in a state of terror over the coming judgment, while the unbelieving world is in a state of terror over the coming judgment, the remnant of believers find their security in the Lord Jesus Christ. The remnant of believers find their security in the Lord Jesus Christ. Two, the Lord Jesus Christ will be the shelter from danger for His people. The Lord Jesus Christ will be the shelter from danger for His people and the means of protection for the remnant of Jewish believers. And the means of protection for the remnant of Jewish believers. Three, God will supernaturally protect a remnant of believers from both Satan, who is the ruler of planet Earth, and he's the one who's masterminded and set up Armageddon. God will supernaturally protect a remnant of believers from both Satan and the Antichrist and all the Gentile armies assembled to destroy Israel. God will supernaturally protect a remnant of believers from both Satan and the Antichrist and all those Gentile armies assembled to destroy Israel from the face of the earth. Now, there's lots of passages, and we're in Joel, and we're almost finished with Joel. We have the final paragraph, which looks at the millennial blessings and prosperity and that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ on the earth, on this planet Earth, following the second advent of Christ, He will rule planet Earth with perfect environment. There will be perfect air. There will be perfect water, lots of water, all kinds of water. Water will be everywhere, great water, drinking water, water for crops, water for grapes so they can make wine. There are going to be wine, lots of wine in the millennium. Great productivity, all the animals will flourish. There will be perfect righteousness, perfect justice. Man will learn war no more. The millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years of perfect environment. Revelation 12. Let's start at verse 13. When the dragon, and if you look over at Revelation 12, verse 9, we find out who the great dragon is. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who deceives the whole world. And that's exactly what's happening today on planet Earth. And that's exactly what's happening in America. I love America. I love this nation. I love what that flag stands for. I love the freedoms we have. I love the freedom that we have to assemble in freedom tonight to worship the living and true God, Jesus Christ, through the study of the Word of God. I love America. Currently, we are the client nation to God. How much longer? I don't know. The only hope for America is Jesus Christ. That is the only hope for America. The only hope for America is a spiritual revival. And that means the grace gospel goes all over the United States. And there are many sons that believe in Christ as their Savior and come into glory. And it means that the believers who are living their life in reversionism and Satan's cosmic system, that they come to their senses. Come to their senses and rebound. Get back into fellowship with God. Seek out a sound Bible teaching church. And grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And if the pivot gets large enough, Jesus Christ will deliver the United States of America from the fifth cycle of discipline. Just like He delivered Judah in Isaiah's day. The southern kingdom, Judah, was right on the verge of the fifth cycle of national discipline. But there was a spiritual revival. As a result of that spiritual revival and the believers turning back to God and the Word of God and responding to the teaching of Isaiah and the teaching of Joel, the pivot enlarged, and Sennacherib, who had Jerusalem surrounded, Sennacherib and his armies, in one night, Jesus Christ killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And they went back home to Nineveh, and the southern kingdom was delivered. Now we're on the verge of the fifth cycle of national discipline in the United States of America. And when I say that, I love our nation. And I know what the hope is. The hope is Jesus Christ. The hope is spiritual revival. You know what the grace gospel is. And that grace gospel has to go throughout the land. And the greatest thing I can do for a country I love is doing what I do 5 times a week. Teach the grace and truth of the Word of God. So believers can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And God has honored that. And the teaching from this pulpit is going all over the United States of America. All over. And I get letters and emails from people all over the United States of America receiving the classes from here. See, you just see a few people that assemble for face-to-face. There are people listening to every class all over America and in other parts of the world. And that's the hope. So what I'm doing because I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I love this nation. And I hope that we are an illustration of the days of Isaiah and not the days of Jeremiah. Jeremiah loved his nation too. But the people didn't listen to Jeremiah. They hated Jeremiah. They even tried to kill Jeremiah. And it broke Jeremiah's heart. But we'll be one or the other. We'll either be an illustration of the days of Isaiah or an illustration of the days of Jeremiah. So who is the dragon? Well, Revelation 12:9, it's the devil or Satan. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman. That's Israel, who had given birth to the male child. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The woman, Israel, was given the two wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time. That's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation that we know as the Great Tribulation. And out of the serpent's reach, then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman, Israel, and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And then the dragon was enraged at the woman, Israel. And he went off to make war against the rest of her offspring. And who is that? Those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus, the remnant. Now, our next book after Joel is going to be Zechariah. Turn over to Zechariah chapter 12. Now, there are 14 chapters in Zechariah. So I'll give you Zechariah 12 now, and by the time that we get there to teach it, you'll have forgotten everything about it, remember? Zechariah 12, verse 1. This is the word of the Lord concerning Israel. The Lord who stretches out the heavens, the creator of the universe, who lays the foundation of the earth, who is the creator of the universe? Jesus Christ. And who forms the spirit of man within him, declares, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged, as well as Jerusalem. On that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations, and all who try to move it will injure themselves. On that day I will strike every horse with panic and its rider with madness, declares the Lord. I will keep a watchful eye over the house of Judah, but I will blind all the horses of the nations. Then the leaders of Judah will say in their hearts, the people of Jerusalem are strong because the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, is their God. On that day, I will make the leaders of Judah like a fire pot in a wood pile, like a flaming torch among sheaves, and they will consume right and left all the surrounding peoples. But Jerusalem will remain intact in her place. The Lord will save the dwellings of Judah first, so that the honor of the house of David and of Jerusalem's inhabitants may not be greater than that of Judah. On that day the Lord will shield those who live in Jerusalem, so that the feeblest among them will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord going before them. On that day I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem. And then Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8. In the whole land, declares the Lord, two-thirds will be struck down and perish. Yet one-third will be left in it. And this third I will bring into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold, and they will call on my name, and I will answer them, and I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is our God. Now, turn over to Nahum. Nahum chapter 1. Nahum 1 verse 7. The Lord is Tov, intrinsically good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. The remnant. The remnant. Trust in the Lord, and He is a refuge for them. And then 2 Samuel 22. The Song of David. 2 Samuel 22, verse 1. David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Well, this is exactly the song that the remnant will be singing at the second advent when Jesus Christ comes back. This is what they'll sing. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my deliverer. From violent men you deliver me. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am delivered from my enemies. That's exactly the song that the remnant will sing at the second advent of Jesus Christ. So God will supernaturally protect a remnant of believers from both Satan, the Antichrist, and all the Gentile armies that have assembled to destroy Israel and then to go to war against Jesus Christ. Now that brings us to Joel 3, verse 17. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God. We have the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal perfect of the verb yada, plus the conjunction ki with the personal pronoun ani, plus the tetragrammaton, plus the noun Elohim with the second person plural suffix. Now we start out with a vav. Start out with a vav, and this is a conversive vav. That means, this is used a lot in the Hebrew, the conversive vav converts the perfect of the verb yada into an imperfect. The vav also functions as the resumptive vav and is correctly translated then. And then we have the verb yada. Y-A-D-A-I-N. Yada. And yada means to know, to realize, to comprehend. In other words, yada is used here, and it means to have the eyes of your heart opened. The eyes that really matter are the eyes of your heart. Now, Tyrone's, his eyes are getting better and better, and he's getting younger and younger. And so he's going to throw his glasses away, and he's checking out, sitting different places. He's going to be doing musical chairs around here. But how's it look? Can you see? Oh, okay. He's just a spring rooster, see? So it means to have the eyes of the heart opened. One, when the Lord Jesus Christ destroys Israel's enemies at the second advent. When the Lord Jesus Christ destroys Israel's enemies at the second advent, the eyes of the heart of the Jewish remnant will be opened. When the Lord Jesus Christ destroys Israel's enemies at the second advent, the eyes of the heart of the Jewish remnant will be opened. Two, then they will realize, yada, they will realize and know that the Lord Jesus Christ has been her Messiah and protector all along. Then they will realize and know that the Lord Jesus Christ has been her Messiah and protector all along. And the conjunction ki after verbs of decendi, and yada means to know, that's the verb of decendi. It introduces an object clause, and correctly translated that. It introduces what they will know and realize. And then the personal pronoun ani. Aleph, A, N, long I. Ani. Ani is the personal pronoun I, and I is the Lord your God. The combination of the personal pronoun ani plus the fact that there's no verb, the verb has been omitted, makes this very, very emphatic in the Hebrew. Literally, it says, then you will realize and know that I, there is no verb, that I, the Lord, your God. That's, but the absence, we have to put a verb in to make it smooth, but the absence of the verb plus the personal pronoun, very, very emphatic. Then you will realize and know that I, the Lord, your God. And that's the tetragrammaton, which is Jehovah, the Lord, and Elohim, God, second person plural suffix, the Lord your God. So the corrected translation, then you will realize and know that I, the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. This is the catalactic participle of shakan, plus the preposition beth, prefixed to the noun tzion, plus the noun har, joined by a makef to the noun kodesh, with the first person singular suffix. First of all, shakan. Very important verb, shakan. S-H-A-K-A-N, shakan. Shakan literally means to settle down, to remain, to abide, to dwell. The catalactive participle has strong linear action start. You would translate it, the one who keeps on dwelling. The one who keeps on dwelling. Now, shakan, this is where we get the title of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Shekinah glory. And in the dispensation of Israel, in the tabernacle, and then in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, Jesus Christ dwelt there as the Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory dwelling in the temple. Now, there are no sacred buildings in the church age. Now, Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, dwells inside of you. Because at the moment of salvation, God the Holy Spirit indwells your body and makes your body a temple. Now, your bodies are the temple. And Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, dwells inside of you. How powerful is that? The Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, is dwelling inside of us. The Holy Spirit makes our body a temple, and the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, dwells inside of us. That is so powerful to know that, and that motivates you. You have been blessed with the most fantastic blessings in this dispensation, the church age. And then we have the preposition beth, which means in, and then the proper noun tzion. T-S-I-Y-L-O-N, Zion. And Zion is Zion, transliterated Zion. And then we have Har, which is mountain or hill country, but it's modified by Kodesh. That's Q-O-D-E-S-H, Kodesh. And Kodesh means holiness or sacredness. First person singular suffix, my mountain of holiness or my holy mountain. And that's how we'll translate it. And here's the principle. Zion is God's holy mountain. Zion is God's holy mountain. So the corrected translation, then you will realize and know that I am the Lord your God, the one who keeps on dwelling in Zion, Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, my holy mountain. Then you will realize and know that I am the Lord your God, the one who keeps on dwelling in Zion, the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Zion, my holy mountain. And then he concludes, then shall Jerusalem be holy. And this is the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal perfect of Hayah, plus the noun Yerushalayim, plus the noun Kodesh. Once again, the vav is a conversive vav. It converts the perfect into an imperfect. And you translate the imperfect tense in the Hebrew like a future tense in English. The perfect tense with the vav conversive makes a simple statement that something will come to pass. It's going to happen. It introduces a prophetic statement. A prophetic statement about Jerusalem in the future millennial kingdom when Christ returns to the earth at the second advent. And the vav is also what we call a resumptive vav and correctly translated then. And then the subject of the to-be verb hayah is the proper noun Yerushalayim. That's Y, Shava, R, long U, S, H, A, L, I, M. Yerushalayim, transliterated Jerusalem. And it's modified by Kodesh again, holy. So the corrected translation sounds like this. Then you will realize and know that I am the Lord your God, the one who keeps on dwelling in Zion, the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, my holy mountain, and then Jerusalem will be holy. Get that, I'll give it to you again. Then you will realize and know that I am the Lord your God, the one who keeps on dwelling in Zion, the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem will be holy. One, Yerushalayim or Jerusalem literally means city of peace. It literally means city of peace. Two, however, this city of peace has known nothing but war. Look at what's going on right now. There was a great article in Fox News. Great article. It says, Prime Minister Netanyahu is having a Winston Churchill moment where in England, the Nazis were trying to totally annihilate England. And Israel and under Netanyahu, totally surrounded from seven different peoples, Arabs, Islamic terrorists all around Israel, trying to destroy Israel. And Netanyahu, by the way, you got to be praying for Netanyahu. He is a great leader. He is a great, great leader in Israel. And he has a lot of people in his own country that are no different than the liberals in this country. Liberals in this country are horrible. And the liberals in Israel are horrible. And he's standing the course and making all the right decisions. Absolutely excellent. So Jerusalem means city of peace. However, this city of peace has known nothing but war. That's all they are knowing right now. Look what's going on right now. 3. It has been trodden down by the Gentile nations. It has been trodden down by the Gentile nations. 4. It has been destroyed under the 5 cycles of national discipline. It has been destroyed under the 5 cycles of national discipline. Five. It has been subjected to the dominion of Gentile powers. It has been subjected to the dominion of Gentile powers. 6. And the Bible prophesies that it will suffer even greater judgment and military invasion and warfare in the tribulation. The Bible prophesies that it will suffer even greater judgment and military invasion and warfare in the tribulation. 7. But following the second advent of Jesus Christ, Jerusalem will be holy. And foreign aggressors will never invade her again. Never, ever invade her again. But following the second advent of Jesus Christ, Jerusalem will be holy, and foreign aggressors will never invade her again. Joel 3, verse 17. 8. Following the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jerusalem will be the holy city, the city of peace. Following the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jerusalem will be the holy city, the city of peace, because the Prince of Peace will be ruling planet Earth from Jerusalem. Following the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jerusalem will be the holy city, the city of peace, because the Prince of Peace will be ruling planet Earth from Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he concludes and says, and there shall no stranger pass through her any more. That's the King James. This is the conjunction vav, prefix of the verb zur, plus the objective negative lo, joined by a makef to the cal imperfect of aver, which is joined by a makef to the preposition beith with a third person singular feminine suffix, plus the adverb oath. The conjunction vav is connective, correctly translated and. Vav introduces another prophecy concerning the millennial kingdom. Here's the prophecy. Not only will Jerusalem be the holy city in the millennial kingdom, but there will also be no more foreign aggressors and invasions into Israel. Never again. Never, ever again. So the prophecy is not only will Jerusalem be the holy city in the millennial kingdom, but there will also be no more invasions into Israel. No more foreign aggressors invading into Israel. And then we have Zur. Z long U R, Zur. And Zur literally means to be a stranger. But when it's used as a substantive, as it is in our verse, then it is correctly translated foreigners. But Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew lexicon on page 266 says, most of the time it refers to foreign aggressors or enemies. And that's what it means here, enemies. And then we have aver. I-N-A-B-A-R, aver. Now, a couple of things on aver. First of all, aver means to pass over or to pass through. To pass over or to pass through. Two, in a military context, which is how it's used here, it means to invade. In a military context, it means to invade. And when you have the imperfect tense with the objective negative lo, that's what we have, the objective negative lo. In Hebrew, you have an objective negative lo. In the Greek, you have an objective negative u. So this is equivalent to the Greek u, lo, objective negative that slams the door. So in a military context, it means to invade, and with the objective negative low, that slams the door. Three, with the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling planet Earth from Jerusalem in the millennium, there will be no more war. With the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling planet Earth from Jerusalem in the millennial kingdom, there will be no more war. Four, world peace in the millennial kingdom means foreign aggressors will never invade Israel anymore. World peace in the millennial kingdom means foreign aggressors will never invade Israel anymore. The preposition beith means in with the third person singular suffix. In her is in Israel. The adverb oath looks like this. Ion long O-D, oath. The adverb oath means more or repetition or continuance with the objective negative low, which is what we have, it means never again. Never again. So the corrected translation, and foreign aggressors will never, never invade her, Israel, again. So verse 17. In fact, let's take a look at verses 16 and 17. Verse 16, and the Lord will roar like a lion from Zion, and he will thunder from Jerusalem. And the heavens, the stellar heavens, and the earth will shake and quake. But the Lord, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, the shelter from danger for his people, and the means of protection for the sons of Israel, the remnant of Jewish believers, then you will realize and know that I am the Lord your God, the one who keeps on dwelling in Zion, Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, my holy mountain. And then Jerusalem will be holy, and foreign enemies, foreign aggressors, will never invade her again. That is prophecy from the living and true God. God has a plan for Israel. It's a fantastic plan. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, will return and rule the world from the throne of David in Jerusalem. And it will be the greatest 1,000 years of prosperity and blessing and perfect environment and world peace. Man will not learn war anymore. There will be no Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps. All of that gone. They won't be fighting for the who's going to win the trophy. This year it'll be Army or Navy, not Air Force. Normally Air Force is at the top. This year Air Force is right down at the bottom. But that's all right. It'll probably turn around here. One thing, there will be no Army-Navy game in the Millennial Kingdom. I'll miss that. No Army-Navy game in the Millennial Kingdom. But I'm sure there'll be football, though. UNLV will win the national championship in the Millennium. There you go. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.